the messages coming in. We've got some really good questions for Naima today. We're moving on now to sleeping patterns and how children should be responding to sleeping patterns. If there's any problems with those sleep patterns, what can it actually suggest? And how much sleep should we be getting? So we should start at that. Let's have a look at the ages of sleep and perhaps when we should be sending our child to bed.
Sure. So when you look at sort of sleep and newborn, so you're now looking sort of 1 to 2 months, they need a total of between 10 and a half to 18 hours a day. And this can be an irregular schedule. You know, you could have periods of 1 to 3 hours where they're awake. Sleep period may be a few minutes to lots and lots of hours. But they could be kind of active whilst they're sleeping, even when they're this young, because they're still developing, still growing. As they grow older, from about 3 to 11 months, that sleep sort of starts to decrease. You're now looking at 9 to 12 hours, and they might have sort of 2 half-an-hour naps during the day, and then the rest of the time they'll be sleeping at night.
Question, because this sounds really stupid, but I do a lot of kind of charity stuff with feline friends, and I've had so many newborn kittens that have had to be bottle fed. You have to wake them up to feed them because it's quite dangerous to leave them to sleep and not. Is that the same with babies? Do you have to, or can you let them sleep, and if they naturally wake up for a feed, you can?
They will naturally wake up for a feed. So again, it depends on the strictness of the parents. I know of parents who are very sort of feed on demand. When the child wakes up, cries a little bit, definitely needs food, child is fed. I also have, you know, parents from another school of thought who are, I need to wake them up at a specific time so they're fed at a specific time. If they cry in between, I'm not feeding them in between. You know, and it sounds really harsh, but it is part of their training, and it is possible to train them that way. It just depends on the parent's preference. But similar to cats, you shouldn't really be feeding them when they're lying down. You know, fast asleep, even half asleep. As soon as they start to fall asleep, you can pretty much remove that bottle when they're sort of, I don't know, 60 to 70% asleep, and you are able to tell. But babies will let you know when they're hungry. You know, they're not gonna sort
of. How often are you feeding very young babies then?
Again, you know, if you're on demand, it could be once every 3 to 4 hours. You know, again, depending on their appetite, sometimes they'll have, you know, sort of stomach issues, and that'll be a lot more because it's passing straight through their system. Sometimes those intervals will be a little bit longer. But by and large, when they're, you know, around 3 to 11 months, you're now starting to feed them once every 3 to 4 hours. When they're younger, it's pretty common.
At least it's not every second hour. It's a nightmare. Carry on.
Yeah,
so.
Sure. Go ahead. So sleep in toddlers, when you're looking at sort of 1 to 3 years old, they need about 12 to 14 hours and 24 month. And again, when they're about 18 months, their nap times will start to decrease. Maybe just once a day, 1 to 3 hours. I have a lot of parents that unfortunately let their children sleep on during naps. Naps are not 6-hour naps. That's the worst way, the best way to disrupt your child's routine. Okay. So if you're expecting them to go to sleep at night and you want them to have a nap, make sure the nap is, you know, maximum of 3 hours.
Okay, which is funny actually, because we had Maria that texted in to say that her little boy is 2.5 years old, sleeps 10 hours overnight and naps for 2 hours in the day. Is it too much? 10 hours at night and 2.5 in the day, and 2 in the day.
No, I think that's absolutely right on target. Actually, that's not at all too much. And you know how to sort of 8 months for her baby to sleep the full night. It is important that the child learns, whether they're 8 or 2.5 or 8 months. They need to be able to self-soothe and put themselves back to sleep. One of the biggest mistakes that parents very unintentionally make is to fall asleep with their children. And, you know, falling asleep with the child wakes up, parent isn't there, they find a way to creep back into your bed, and the whole cycle starts off all over again because they have this incorrect notion that mom's going to be there, dad's going to be there when I wake up because they fell asleep with me. So it's very important for you to sort of rip that band-aid from an early age if you can. Try not to make it a habit.
It's probably as much for the
parent as it is. Absolutely, you know. And you feel sorry because they're so busy with their, you know, sort of either other children or work commitments or whatever it is, that sometimes sleeping is the only real quality time that they get with their children. You know, so it is quite unfortunate. So your heart sort of goes out to parents who have difficulties that way. But yes, you know, it is important. This 2.5 years getting 12 hours of sleep is absolutely fine. One thing to consider when people, adults, humans, you know, in general, take naps, the sleep cycle is 90 minutes long. You know, half of that is non-REM sleep, where you're not dreaming at all. You're going through stages 1 through 4. And the last stage is REM sleep, where you spend another 50% of your sleep cycle. The idea is, if you want to have a complete sleep cycle, sleep for 90 minutes. Not more, not less. That would be the ideal nap.
Okay.
When you go to sleep at night, you need about 5 to 6 cycles of those 90 minutes. And if you can sort of time yourself, not, you know, scientifically calculate exactly what time you should be waking up, but ideally, if you have those sort of 20-minute naps, you're pretty much just going through stage 1 and 2, and that's fine. It's when you have those 30 to 40 minute naps where you're going into stage 4 sleep, which is the deepest sort of almost paralyzed sleep, and then you try and wake yourself up and you just can't shake it off for an hour. That grogginess is really difficult because you've woken yourself up at this not very good time in your sleep cycle. So the ideal sort of thing to keep in mind, even for parents, is, can I give my child this 90-minute nap, even a 3-hour nap? That's okay, as opposed to cutting it in between.
Yeah. Okay, so that's good. So work it out in 90-minute sets.
Yeah.
Also, another question that we've had here, which is slightly off topic, but something that I think a lot of parents will understand. I wonder if you can help me. My daughter is 7 years old and she's started constantly getting into trouble at school. And it's little things like being sent to the head teacher for these little things. When I try to talk to the teacher, she says that she knows that my daughter can do better, but somehow always manages to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. My question is, how can I help my daughter to be comfortable and happy and avoid the labelling that seems to be stacking up against her? Her levels of concentration are very low and I feel lost about what is the best way forwards with her.
Yeah, thank you for your honest text. It takes a lot of courage to be able to admit, you know, something like that is happening with your child. And it is quite sad that the child feels that I'm always in the wrong place at the wrong time. And it happens, you know. One of the biggest things to recognize is, sit down with your child and really try and find out, what is this wrong place, wrong time? You know, are there sets of things that are happening before she gets caught for whatever it is that perhaps people are bullying her into? She's making sort of these wrong decisions in the heat of that moment. And the best way to go about this is problem-solving techniques. You know, really sitting down with the child and saying, okay, we know there is a problem. Somebody snatches something from you. What do you do next? This is a problem. We've defined it. What are potential solutions? And the idea is to brainstorm as many solutions as you can with the child together without criticizing any of the solutions. And by the end of the process, what you want the child to be able to do is evaluate these solutions. So I could hit back. I could snatch back. I could tell the teacher. I could, you know, engage in some other solution. But the idea is to take the child through the consequences of each of these solutions. If I hit back, I'm still going to get into trouble. If I go tell the teacher, I may be labeled as a tattletale. Mm. You know, it's considering all of these alternatives. So both of you, and children need scaffolding with this. They're not born with these abilities to solve their own problems. Neither are adults. But helping, you know, talk through this with your actual child is, let's give her solutions that she can think of her feet when she's in those actual situations. And one of the biggest things is, reward her when she's come back with a clean slate. When she's had absolutely no occurrences for that day at school, give her a treat for it. Uh-huh. Treat doesn't have to be materialistic. It could be anything from, let's go out for, you know, a hot chocolate, or spending extra time at the TV, or whatever it is. It's something that the child is motivated by, is excited about, and is acknowledged, I didn't get into trouble today. If it's still kind of going into a little bit more negative, it's again child having to face other consequences. If she really is causing some of these difficulties and isn't just, you know, the victim, she needs to be held responsible for some of her actions. And that might mean not just the consequence at school, but a consequence is applied in the home environment as well.
Very much so. Thank you so much. Keep your messages coming in. 4001 is the SMS number. You can, of course, SMS us from any number. If you'd like to call, we do try and answer the phone, 04-423-1010. We're talking to child development psychologist from the Human Relations Institute in Knowledge Village. That is Naima Jawani. And we've moved on from why and when children have too many questions to sleeping routines and how important they are for children. We're also going to be talking about anxiety and what are the symptoms of an over-anxious child. If you have any questions and you're dealing with these issues yourself, please do text in. We'll see if we can help.